This is the Talk of Fame Network on SB Nation Radio from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's Clark Judge, Rick Goslin, and Ron Borges.
Well, early on this program, we were talking about Khalil Mack and the value of a great pass rusher. Well, we have a great pass rusher with us today. I'm talking about Elvis Dumervil, who set the record for sacks in his high school. That'd be Miami Jackson with 78 in his career. Then set the NCAA single season record for sacks and forced fumbles when he was at the University of Louisville. He had 20 and a half sacks and 10 forced fumbles. And who in 2014 set a Baltimore Ravens single season record with 17 sacks. I think you get the idea. Great pass rusher, Elvis Dumervil. But Elvis announced his retirement from the game last month, and we are lucky, very lucky to have him with us today. Elvis Dumervil, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh man, thank you. That's a great introduction.
Well, you did most of it yourself.
Yeah. Thanks for writing it for me, Elvis. Listen, Elvis, your numbers speak for themselves. And I didn't even mention the 105 and a half career sacks and 23 forced fumbles you had in the NFL. So my question to you is, what makes a great pass rusher, and how much of it is technique and how much of it is just raw ability?
I mean, you know, I think every pass rusher has his own niche. To me, it's kind of like the weather. You know, every weather has its pros and cons. And for me, you know, my leverage, it was some parts during the drive was a bad thing, but on the field, playing with leverage was a great thing, you know. So it's a matter of taking what you have, your tools, and what your God-given ability, and making it the best of your ability and playing your cards, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, we've had great pass rushers on this program before, and some of them have told us that, but they also have told us they value tackles for losses over sacks. Just wondering how.
No, hitting the quarterback is more than anything. Getting the ball out even more special.
So you're forced fumbles. Do you consider forced fumbles a bigger stat than sacks?
Yeah, you get the ball out. You know, it's a sack fumble. I mean, you know, so it's the best of the best. You know, you don't even have to bring the quarterback down. You go for the ball, get a sack, and you get a fumble. So you get two on the stat sheet.
Elvis, let me take you back a little bit here. How does a guy, a high school star from Miami, end up at Louisville? Why did you go to the U?
Man, Louisville ACC, baby. You know, big time school. In all seriousness, I mean, when I came into high school, conference USA, and honestly, you know, first generation from Haiti, I didn't have parents who really understood the whole college process. And I look back, and my mom keeps all the letters and scholarship offers. I had scholarship offers from LSU and SEC schools, and I mean, it was crazy, but I didn't know. You know, Michigan, I didn't really understand that. Miami recruited me. They wanted me to play fullback, so I declined that. You know, Florida State, they never really – Bobby Brown actually came down to my high school and he told me I was too short. you're a good player, but you're just a little too short for us, you know. So that was I can appreciate the honesty, and I was actually going to go to Florida and see Spirit ended up going to the Redskins that year, and then Ron Zook came in, and so at that point I had brothers in Syracuse, I had brothers in Louisville, and at that point I just went with family, you know, and I really didn't understand the whole college recruiting process. But the thing is, the best decision I've ever made. Louisville was a great, great experience. Got out of Miami, went to Kentucky, didn't know what to expect. It was a great college town, man. I tell you, it was a great place to play at. A lot of friends and relationships built there, prepared me to meet with Coach Pacino, helped me to, you know, prepare myself for the NFL, playing in a different climate, environment. It was all good. So when I went to Denver, at least I had experienced some type of snow and, you know, those type of things.
Okay, Bobby Bowden said you're too short. The NFL clearly thought you were too short, which is why, with all your stats, you slid to the fourth round. Has your height ever been a disadvantage?
I know. I think, like I mentioned earlier, I think leverage is the key to it all. You know, I'm going against guys who 6'7". The taller you are, the bigger you are, it was the best, you know, and you're playing with leverage, and my arm length helped me as well. My arm, you know, was just tallest, I mean, longest guys who were taller than me. So had long arms and leverage, so I was kind of really built to rush the passer.
Well,
Well, as you know, all three of us are Hall of Fame voters, Elvis, and in the Hall loves pass rushes. We all love pass rushes. And since you entered the league, there's only three guys, DeMarcus Ware, Jared Allen, and Julius Peppers, who have more sacks or had more sacks than you. Do you think much about the Hall of Fame? You know, we had Brett Favre on the show before he got in, and he told us that it was never really something he thought about. He just played football. Have you ever thought much about it, and how meaningful would it be to you to get one of those gold jackets?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, you never really think about it. You just play the game. You love it. You feel like, oh, man, I'm pretty cool that I got a scholarship, and then you get drafted, and you just have passion. You love the crowd energy. I mean, for me, speaking of my personal experience, I enjoy Sundays, you know. I enjoy being with the guys. And one thing I always enjoy about NFL and football is every week you get an opportunity to correct or get better. And to me, that I thought that was one of the coolest things, because in life you never know what happens and how you respond. And every week you had that experiment of how do you respond the next week. And last week doesn't matter. It's the new week. And, you know, so... You're so busy and you think about trying to help the team, and you don't even get caught up into those accolades and Hall of Fame stuff. You just kind of just try to worry about today and worry about the week and worry about the game and the season, and then you don't have time. You got to worry about the next season. So you just, there's always something you got to work on. And when you look up, and now it's like, man, 12 years gone by, and you start to see kind of, I never really, sat and thought about what happened and how I did it, which is always trying to look forward and push forward, keep pushing. That's one of my things I like to do. I like to keep pushing. And then now being retired, I mean, I still in that same habit, but now I can, like, have conversations or interviews with you guys and reflect on certain things, a couple of things that you've done. And it's really a new experience for me, and this is the first time I actually can dwell or even think about things like that I've done in the past,
Mm-hmm. But like you say, this was the first weekend since, I don't know how old you were when you first started playing football, but I imagine this is the first fall weekend in a long time. You haven't played football. When you got up on Sunday, did you, like, run around the living room and knock over the tables and just sack the sofa, dive over, stop somebody and tackle your friends? What was it like not playing football when you've been doing it for so long?
Yeah, it was cool, man. Just had a nice brunch with my family, wife, two kids. I have a daughter, 2 years old. And, she it's funny. Every time she sees a football in sports, she says, go, daddy, go. She remembers the time in San Fran. And so every time she sees any red or football, she connects that with daddy. But now, man, just hang with the wife, man, and show the family. And it's been great, man. It's like you said, I've been playing football since organized football since sixth grade, first grade, and it's crazy, man. You just you wake up and you're like, man, you don't have the meetings. It's for me, it's more the Saturdays. Because Saturday is where you kind of you get in your mode of your routine and getting ready for the game, and so when the game is easy. But Saturday for me was the hardest part, because you don't have the hotel meeting, hearing from your coach, the team meeting the night before, sleeping at the hotel. So that where I kind of felt like, oh man, I'm not going to the hotel. My wife is not packing my bag, and I'm not leaving. So that was that part.
Well, Elvis, you talked about how much you enjoyed Sundays and being with the guys, and how every weekend was an experiment and looking forward to the next week and see what you can improve on. What convinced you that now was the time to retire? Why now?
You think about, you have kids, that's another reason I wanted to have kids later, because I knew, like, if you have kids, I miss them, and going away on the weekends is tough. And especially being on the West Coast last year, had East Coast games, we had to leave 2 days before. And, it's, the fire of playing football, I think, will always remain. I don't think I'll ever lose that part of competitiveness. My body's great. I mean, I feel like I can still help a team win and play. But for me, it was more, enjoying the off season and spending time with my kids. That's kind of where I just felt like it all depended on the right situation, and I didn't think the right situation, the team that I was talking to, it wasn't the team that I felt it was a good match for both sides. I declined a few visits because I didn't feel it was the right fit. And for me, I never play this game just to be a tag along, and you know, I respect the game too much. And if I feel like I can't be who I am in a way I want to be, you know, contributing, it just wouldn't make sense for me.
Ellis, we all know what happened with Denver and Baltimore, that one season of the contract screw up here. Did going to Baltimore benefit your career, or if you had your druthers, would you have preferred staying in Denver the whole thing?
I think it's two. I think it helped, and it was kind of, I wish I would have, you know, probably had opportunity there the whole time. I think when I went to Baltimore, it helped me to become a better professional, because I think I didn't play with Ray Lewis or any of those guys, but being there when I came, I think the atmosphere, the system was in place of how to really be a true pro and take care of your body. And I think when I got to Baltimore, because my last 3 years in Denver, I was hurt every year. I was never healthy the last 3 years there. After I led the team, the league in sacks there, you know, I tore my pec. And after that injury, I just didn't have the resource or the knowledge of, okay, how do I get back healthy to where I can perform to where I want to perform? And in Denver, I didn't have that, you know. So I really felt I needed to get a change of scenery. And when that happened, Baltimore was the perfect place for me. I think helped rejuvenate my health for sure. And I actually, you know, I wanted to be in the 3-4 system too, because when I signed my contract and led the league in sacks, I was at an outside linebacker. And then McDaniels got fired after the year I got hurt. Then they brought in Coach Fonz and they moved me back to the end. You know, I can't complain. You know, you got to do what you got to do. But I would prefer to stay an outside linebacker. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do. You're in the contract. So when I got to Baltimore, I was able to go back to outside linebacker. That's when I was able to get a franchise record there. And that was those opportunities. Now, the flip side of it, you know, obviously you missed on the Super Bowl run with Denver. And I wish I could have played, because I really enjoyed playing the guys there and the teammates, guys like Vaughn. And I was never healthy with Vaughn. Like, I always wondered, like, man, we would both have been healthy. And Vaughn was younger then. So as he was matured and got into where he's at now, and I would have been healthy, I mean, we, you know, we was the number one tandem together when we, you know, we went to a different route. But, you know, I just think there was a lot of potential there that never really got tapped into.
One last thing, Ellis, we got about a minute to go here. Just wondering, you've sacked a lot of guys, a lot of different guys, great quarterbacks, guys that time has forgotten. Who was the toughest quarterback to get onto the ground?
I would say, man, in the days when I was in Denver, Ben Roethlisberger for sure was. That's when he was, you know, he had his big jersey, he was heavier. I mean, the guy can just shake people off. It was crazy, man. Like, to me, and then he was so big, and then he wore a big jersey. So when you pull him on the jersey, he just keep stretching. Yeah, I mean, the guy. I watched the games down. I see Ben, and he just takes the sack. I'm like, man, it's crazy. But I think Ben was the toughest guy, I think, in his mobile days for sure, the sacks.
Hey, Elvis, we got to run here, but thanks so much for joining us, and we look forward to catching up with you again, hopefully soon.
Okay, thank you, guys. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Elvis.
You got it. That was former Denver, Baltimore, and San Francisco pass rusher Elmas Dumervil. Up next, the 2-Minute Drill. This is the Talk of Fame Network.